Say that I'm most glad to have this opportunity to come here.
那在这三天的早上呢，啊，要跟大家思想的一个题目呢，是很奇怪的题目。
The theme that we would be thinking about on these three mornings is a rather unusual one.
从新约来看中国的教会。
We'd like to look at the Chinese church through the New Testament.
在这个题目的里面，我想要跟大家做的是这样。
I would like to do this for the topic.
我们要从新约的时代，那个时候的文化背景，来看一看当初主耶稣基督出现的时候，对他那一个时代有什么样的信息。
We would like to look at the impact and the message Christ had against the background of the culture at his times.
那跟住呢，我们要看作教会的发展的里面呢，在这整个的过程的里面，教会里面跟对内跟对外有些什么样的问题，教会怎么样度过这一些的问题。
Then we would like to look at the problems which the church had in its whole development in the New Testament times, and would like to see how the church overcome these internal and external problems.
那么在这样的一个过程的里面，
In this process,
最后呢，我们在结论的时候呢，会来稍微思想一下这一些信息跟我们今天的中国教会又有些什么样的关系。
We would like to be able to go through the process and be able to come up with a conclusion on what this has to do to our Chinese church, what message this has for us today.
那么我会这样做呢，是因为我自己在教新约的时候呢，我就发现了新约的信息好像跟我传统里面所听到的一些呢很像，但是呢又不太一样。
The reason I am going to do this is because as I myself teach the New Testament, I find that what I have learned previously according to the conventional tradition and what I learned in the New Testament seems to be alike and yet not quite the like.
特别感觉到的呢，是我发现了原来新约所处的那个环境跟他们所面临的那些问题呢，跟我自己的处境，作为一个中国人的处境呢，是有非常相像的地方。
And I find that the cultural context in which the New Testament Christians face and my own Chinese culture had many similar points.
而在这一些很相同的地方呢，却往往呢是在我们传福音跟我们对整个新约的了解的时里面呢，我们往往忽略的。
And yet, in our spreading of the gospel and the teaching of the New Testament, we often neglect these similarities.
很多东西在传统的里面呢，我们听过读过。
There are many things that we have heard and learned traditionally.
但是呢，好像我们却没有想到了哦，原来那些东西跟我们作为一个中国人、中国教会的基督徒呢，是有非常密切的关系。
And yet we have not discovered that these are greatly related to us as a Chinese Christian in the Chinese church.
所以昨天我跟一个弟兄说，这三天早上所要讲的东西呢，讲的不好听一点呢，是炒杂菜。
So as I told a brother yesterday, these three morning will have chop suey.
那么讲得好听一点呢，也许呢可以说呢是跟大家分享一下我这几年在读新约的时候呢我自己的一些心得。
Actually, I would like to share with you what I have gained in studying through the New Testament the last couple of years.
那么不管呢你从什么样的一个角度去看呢，我希望呢是能够刺激弟兄姊妹们呢再去想一想，再重新呢去读一读你的新约，发现呢新约跟你自己呢 有些什么样的关系。
My main goal is that somehow I would be able to motivate you to reread the New Testament and to rethink what the New Testament has to do with you.
那么也希望借助这一些的讨论呢，能够让大家呢在上帝的启示的底下呢，去校正一下我们一些固有的思想。
And furthermore, I would like to hope that as we are under the revelation of God, we can readjust some misconceptions that we may have.
这些不一定都是错的。
They may not always be wrong.
可能呢，大家在这个过程的里面呢，你会发现呢，有很多东西呢，是你过去已经有的。
Perhaps you will find that there are many things that you already know and have.
而你再一次从另外一个新的角度去看的时候呢，你会发现呢，哦，原来呢，我所相信的是对的。
And you will reaffirm your faith once again as you consider it through a different angle.
可是另外一方面呢，也许呢，我们也可以看到呢，我们过去所有了解的虽然是不错呢，可是呢，还不是那么的完整。
And we might also discover that what we understood before, though correct, may not be complete.
哦。很多东西也许呢我们可以呢把它再扩展出去。
Maybe we will broaden our understanding.
有一些东西呢我们可以再加深。
Or we can deepen it.
那么能够达到这个目的的话呢，也许我这三天呢就是说不是浪费大家的时间。
And if we can do this, then I would not have wasted your time.
那今天我们先要看的呢是耶稣基督对他那一个时代的信息。
First, we'd like to look at the message Jesus had for his times.
那么明天呢，我们会思想一下呢，在30年代到60年到50年代的里面呢，那个教会初期的教会所面临的问题跟他们的信息，特别呢，我们要讨论到使徒保罗的信息。
Then tomorrow, we would like to look at the message the church had.From 3080 through 6080, in particular, the Pauline message.
那么最后一天，要看我们前两天的进度是怎么样子。
Then, depending on how far we've progressed in the first 2 days.
假如我明天能够讲完我该讲的，那么第三天呢，我希望能够跟大家呢思想一下，70年代到90年代这个中间的教会的情况。跟过程。
If we can cover everything that we should have covered by tomorrow, then on the third day, I would like to consider with you the church development from 7080 through 9080.
啊，对不起，应该说60年代到90年代。
Excuse me, from 6080 through 9080.
那不过时间的话呢，我们就会只会思想，就是第一世纪末啊，使徒约翰的一些信息。
If we do not have time, then we'll only consider the church history in the latter half of the first century, in particular that of the ministry of John.
好，那么在没有讲今天的这一堂之前呢，请大家低头，我们祷告。
Before we begin, let's bow in prayer.
天父，我们感谢你的恩典。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace.
今天早上我们有这种的机会来看你在耶稣基督里面对我们的启示。
That we can come together today and see the revelation you have for us through Jesus Christ.
愿你照应许，有圣灵在我们中间来引导。
Please guide us as you have promised with the Holy Spirit.
因为我们深深的相信，假如不是你圣灵的工作，我们很不能真正去看见你的真理。
Because we believe deeply that unless it is the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be able to see the truth.
假如不是你圣灵的工作，我们更加没有那个力量去遵从你的真理。
Furthermore, if it is not the work of the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to obey what you have said.
求你的圣灵在我们这个思想的过程的里面，一直的彰显你的大能。
May the Holy Spirit manifest His power through our thought processes.
引导讲的人，引导翻译的人，也引导我们每一个听众的思想。
May you guide the speaker, the translator, and each one in the audience.
让我们在耶稣基督的身上更显然地看到你自己的荣耀。
That we may see your own glory through Jesus Christ.
我们这样的祷告是奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 在下去的一个钟头的里面呢，我要想跟大家思想的一个问题呢，是耶稣基督的那个时代的背景。
In the next hour, I would like to consider with you the background of Jesus Christ.
当我在思想耶稣基督时代背景的时候。
As I think about the cultural background of Jesus' times,
我就想到也许呢，我们可以说耶稣基督所处的那一个时代呢，是在一个危机中的时代。
We can say that Christ lived in a time of crisis.
当时的犹太人跟犹太的宗教文化都处在一个危机的里面。
The Jews of his times and the whole Judaic religion was in crisis.
那么这一个危机的开始呢，其实呢是在耶稣基督之前好几个世纪已经开始。
This crisis began in several centuries before Christ.
在主前586年的时候，耶路撒冷被巴比伦攻陷了。
In 586 BC, Jerusalem was captured by the Babylonians.
所以犹太人呢，跟犹太国家呢，就成为巴比伦大帝国的那个范围。
And therefore, the whole territory of Judea became under the reign of the Babylonians.
可是，在世界的历史的里面，跟圣经的历史里面呢，我们又看到巴比伦的统治不过是几十年的时间。
But we also see in history that the reign of the Babylonians was but for several hundred years.
到536年的时候呢，古列王就波斯帝国就打败了巴比伦。
In 536, the Persians under the Syrians conquered Babylon.
那么在这个里面呢，就是犹太人呢又换了一个主人了。
During this time, the Jews had also had a change of leadership.
过了差不多200年之后，
After about 200 years,
到332年的时候，
In 332 BC,
出名的亚历山大王呢又从希腊往东打了过来。
Alexander the Great came from the east.
犹太人又换了一个主人了。
And again, the Jews had a different king.
这次呢，他们是在希腊的大帝国的下边。
This time, they came under the kingdom of the Macedonians.
那么，假如大家还记得你们的西欧历史的话
，If you can remember the Western Europe history,
大家也会发现呢，就是亚历山大的帝国呢，不过是十几年的时间就过去。
You will also remember that Alexander only had power for about several decades.
以他死后呢，他的几个将军呢，就把他的大帝国瓜分掉。
After his death, the several generals under him split up the kingdom.
那么犹太人呢，就在当时亚历山大的那个手下的两个将军之间呢，作为一个所谓颠板。
And so the Jews came in between two generals as their game.
北方的一个国家叫做叙利亚。
Syria in the north.
南边的呢是埃及。
And Egypt in the south.
他们彼此打架。
They were fighting.
那么在打架的时候呢，有时候呢，犹太人呢就是属乎北方的。
And at times during their wars, the Jews belonged to the north.
有时候呢，犹太国呢就属南方的。
And at times the Jews belong to the south.
又差不多是200多年之后。
And for after about another 200 years.
大概是可以说呢，是在主前六十年的时候。
About 60 BC，
另外一个帝国出现了。
Another empire came in the site.
这一次是罗马帝国。
This time is the Roman Empire.
在六十年，罗马的将军庞培，他就打到巴勒斯坦来了。
In 60 BC, the Roman general Pompey came to Palestine.
那么在这个情形下面呢？犹太人又换了一个主人。
Under such circumstances, the Jews had yet another leader.
我画地图画得不好。
I'm not good at map drawing.
但是呢，我可以用一个画一，现在就画一个很简单的地图呢，让大家呢了解一下耶稣基督的时代他所处的那个政治的环境。
But let me draw a very simple map in order to show clearly.The situation of Christ, the geographical situation of Christ's times.
那么，这里呢，这块地方呢是犹大哈。
This is Judea.
这边呢是波斯。
Over there is Persia.
这一边呢是巴比伦。
Above is Babylon.
这一边呢是希腊。
This is Greek.
这一边呢是罗马。
And this is Rome.
开始的时候是这个打过来。
In the beginning, the Persians attacked.
跟着呢是这边打过来。
And then, from that.
在东边的。
From the east.
那么然后呢是西边的呢打了下来了。
Then the attacks came from the west.
那么真正呢就是亚历山大的两个将军呢，这边是埃及哈。
And then under the two generals of Alexander.
那么埃及跟那个。叙利亚哈、就在这一个地方呢打仗。
And then the Egyptians and the Syrians fought over.
最后呢，罗马帝国呢又打了过来了。
Finally, the Romans also came.
几百年的里面，整个犹太人呢都是处在外国的统治的下边。
Over many centuries, the Jews were under the reign of foreigners.
那么在那几百年的里面呢，他们呢都是在战争的里面。
Within these centuries, the Jews were always part of a war.
一个主人又换另外一个主人。
They changed leader time and again.
那么在耶稣基督的时候呢
？During Christ's time.
特别要紧的呢，就是我们要知道，当时他是处在所谓希罗文化的影响的里面。
We must understand that he existed in the Hellenistic age.
亚历山大统治帝国之后
，After Alexander had conquered his world，
他就尽量的把希腊的文化呢介绍到他所有的那个国度的里面去。
He introduced the Greek culture into every part of his kingdom。
那么这个希腊的文化呢，其实呢也继续影响到罗马的时代。
And this carried over into the Roman times。
到耶稣基督的时候，虽然他们是在罗马的统治之下
，In Christ's times, though they were under the Romans，
但是从文化来讲呢，他们呢是在希腊文化的影响的里面。
But culturally, they were under the Hellenic culture。
那么现在呢，我们要来想一想，好。
Now we'd like to consider。
当时犹大在这么样的一个环境的里面，他们有什么样的一些变迁
？What were the changes of Judah in such circumstances？
首先呢，我刚刚就提过了，其实呢，他们是作为列强的一个垫板。
Actually, as I have mentioned, they became the game for the stronger powers.
几个大国家打来打去呢，就在他们那块地方打架。
The several powers fought on their ground.
大国家要抢来抢去呢，总是要抢他们的地方。
Whenever they fought each other, they wanted their piece of ground.
那么在这样的情形的里面呢，很自然，特别是在那个希罗文化的影响里面呢，犹太人他们要面临一个文化的变迁的问题。
In such times, in particular under the Hellenic culture, the Jews faced a cultural problem.
他们不能够再像过去一样。
They cannot be as they were before.
他们很多东西呢，其实呢，要变，而且呢，不变也得变。
They had to make many changes willingly and unwillingly.
一个最明显的，就是在语言的上面呢，他们变了。
Most apparently, the language had to change.
他们本来作为犹太人是讲希伯来话。
As Jews, they spoke the Hebraic language.
可是呢，自从叙利亚跟对不起，自从亚述跟巴比伦攻过来之后呢，他们就要开始学亚兰话。
But ever since the Babylonians attacked them, they had to learn the Aramaic language.
到耶稣基督的时候呢，他们的语言呢已经不是希伯来话了，而是亚兰话了。
So in Jesus' times, they no longer really spoke Hebrew, but rather Aramaic.
到今天，我们所谓的旧约圣经。希伯来文圣经呢，其实呢，那个字母跟拼音呢是亚兰文。
And the Old Testament, the Hebraic Old Testament that we regard today, was actually using the Aramaic alphabet and phonetics.
而旧约的里面呢，也有一些部分呢是亚兰文的圣经。
And the Old Testament, part of it was written in Aramaic.
语言变。
Language changed.
不再是他们所讲的过去的那一些语言了。
It was no longer the one that they spoke before.
除了亚兰文之外呢，当时他们又要面临另外一个语言，就是希腊文的问题了。
Besides the Aramaic language, they were also confronted with Greek.
有一些人经常在争论，到底呢，耶稣基督会不会讲希腊话
？Some people often argue if Christ spoke Greek.
这个问题呢，大概是永远没有答案的。
Perhaps there is no answer to this.
但是呢，我们显然知道呢，就是耶稣基督的门徒啊，起码好像腓力啊，这个名字本身呢，就是一个希腊名字。
But we know that among the disciples, in particular Philip, this name was a Greek name.
就等于呢，有一个中国人呢叫陈多马一样。
It's like one of us called Thomas Chan.
这个名字本身不是一个犹太人的名字。
The name itself is not a Hebraic name.
名字变了，就表示呢，当时文化的影响也已经有相当的转变。
The change of a name symbolizes the change of culture.
整个新约不是用希伯来文写的。
The whole New Testament is not written is written in Greek.
不是用亚兰，也不是用亚兰文写。
It's not written in Aramaic.
而当时用的呢，是所谓当时的通俗的希腊文。
Rather, it is written in the colloquial Greek or the vulgar Greek.
这是在语言上面当时的一个很明显的转变。
Through language, we see a very obvious change.
生活的方式，犹太人也变了。
And their lifestyle, the Jews also had to change.
大家假如有注意看到一些去看电影的话，还是看一些古代的图片的话，你会发现呢，传统的犹太人的衣服呢，像今天的亚拉伯人一样的，是长长的从上边一直到下拖到下边的。
If you go to watch the movies of the biblical times, you'll find that the traditionally the Jews were dressed as the Arabs.
那么假如你注意希腊人的装束的话，但特别是那些奥林匹克的比赛的话呢，他们的衣服呢是好像今天的迷你裙。
But if you notice the Greek, and in particular the during the Olympic Games, you notice the Greek do not wear floor-length garments.
那么而在耶稣基督的那一个过程的里面呢，我们就发现了犹太人呢受了希腊文化的影响了。
So we all can also see that during Christ's time, the Jews were also affected in this matter.
而这个文化的影响呢是在一个很特别的情况的里面出现。
This cultural change was brought about under particular circumstances.
就是从上层的社会出现。
It started from the upper echelons of society.
在当时带领犹太人希腊化的是他们的那些祭司阶级。
Those who led the cultural change were among the priests.
那么这些祭司，你看那个传，你看圣经图画里面那种祭司的衣服，长长的衣服，对不对？
We often see in the pictures that the high priests wear long garments.
可是希腊文化进来之后，这些祭年轻的祭司们呢，也学会呢希腊人的那些运动了。
So after Greek culture came, the young priests were affected.
所以当他们要学希腊的运动的时候呢，他们要穿希腊的运动衣服了。
The young priests began to take on the Greek games, and in so doing, they had to wear Greek clothing.
好，那么那个感觉呢，就很像呢，现几年前啊，大概可以说十几年前啊，我们看到那些女孩子呢穿迷你裙的那个感觉呢是一样。
And the result is somewhat like a couple of years ago when the girls began to wear mini skirts.
对传统的犹太人来讲，这个简直不像样。
To the traditional Jews, this was an outrage.
哪里可以让脚给人家看的
？How can you show your legs?
这个根本就是等于不穿衣服嘛。
This is as if you were walking naked.
所以在主前第二世纪是的时候呢，我们就看到有一些犹太人呢在埋怨，整个社会风俗都不像样。
So we can see in the second BC that there were many Jews that were complaining about the cultural circumstances.
最不像样的就是那些祭司们。
They were complaining that the priests in particular were an outrage to the culture.
本来是应该去献祭的。
They are supposed to offer up offerings.
可是因为呢是运动的时间到了，所以他们就不献祭了，而穿那种迷你裙跑去运动了。
But by the time for the offering came, it coincided with the athletic times, they would not go to make the offerings.
生活的方式转变。
The lifestyles changed.
而最严重的问题呢？是思想形态也要变。
And more seriously, the thought patterns also changed.
犹太人慢慢的，当他们去学希腊的运动的时候，他们跟住呢就要学希腊的文化。
As the Greek culture came, the Jews gradually had to learn it.
作为一个大帝国下边的一些被征服者。他们感觉到他们给人家看不起。
Being captives in a foreign kingdom, they felt that they were despised by others.
他们要面临的问题是：为什么上帝丢弃我们？上帝存在吗？我们上帝真的吗
？The questions they faced were: Why did God abandon us? Does God exist? Is He real?
他们要面临的问题呢？是说我们传统的文化是到底是比别人的文化低级吗
？They had to face the problem if their culture and background were indeed lower than those of others.
然后，甚至有一些人，他们要用犹太人的方法来向外边的人说，其实我们所相信的都不输你们呀。
Therefore, many of the Jews later on tried to make a stand that actually our culture is not worse than yours.
但是当他们在这样做的时候呢，我们发现了其实他们所讲的东西呢，都是希腊的那一套的思想。
But even as they made their protest, we find that within what they said was much influenced by the Greeks.
犹太人处在一个文化的大转变的过程的里面。
The Jews were in a time of cultural change.
第二方面，我们看到耶稣基督的时代呢，是处在一个很严重的政治跟经济的问题的里面。
We also see that Jesus existed in a time of great political and economic crises.
古代的官往往呢是贪污的。
The rulers were often corrupt.
那么特别呢，作为一个征服者呢，你去到一个被征服的地方呢，你唯一的目的呢，就是要赚钱。
And as a conqueror, one of your goals in conquering is to earn more money or to gain more wealth.
所以, 在罗马的时代, 假如有一个人被拆出去到外边做一个巡抚的话呢, 那么大家都知道呢, 那个是一个我们中国人所讲的肥缺。
So when a Roman was sent as a proconsular to someplace else, we know that he was bound to be corrupt.
那在这个肥缺的里面呢, 连罗马皇帝都知道。
And even the Roman emperor knew of it.
所以有一个罗马皇帝的政策呢, 就是把这些官呢, 通常都换。
So one of his strategies was to change these offices.
就减少贪污。
In order to reduce corruption.
另外一个方法呢, 是让这些人呢, 住长一点。
Or to let them stay longer.
那么那个皇帝的采取这个政策的原因呢, 他用了一个比喻。
The reason the emperor used this strategy
啊, 他用一个比喻来解释他的原因,
was explained in this analogy.
他说假如你让一只苍蝇呢, 在一块肉的上面停久一点呢, 那个苍蝇所吃的有限。
He said that if you let a fly stay in a piece of meat for a long time, the amount of food the fly can eat is limited.
那在新约圣经里面我们也可以看到这种贪污的问题存在了。
We see the problem of corruption in the New Testament.
保罗给犹太人抓了去, 那么结果呢, 就做罗马人的监牢的时候。
When Paul was taken by the Jews and were in the Roman prison,
本来那个罗马巡抚菲利士啊, 应该放保罗走的。
Originally, Felix, the proconsul there, should have let him go.
可是呢, 圣经说了, 因为呢, 他希望呢, 保罗送他一点钱呢, 所以就把保罗呢, 留在监牢里面。
But scripture tells us that Felix hoped that Paul would somehow bribe him, and therefore he kept him in prison.
而且呢, 常常呢, 就找机会呢, 跟保罗多谈话。
And he found many chances to talk with Paul.
当施洗约翰, 啊, 出现的时候,
When John the Baptist appeared,
有一些兵来问施洗约翰说, 我们该做什么?
Some soldiers came to ask John the Baptist what they should do.
施洗约翰呢, 给他们一个很简单的答案,
John gave them a very simple answer.
不要欺负人嘛。
Do not hurt others.
意思就是说, 假如你是当兵的话呢, 你的责任呢就是欺负人的。
In other words, saying that you as soldiers often do hurt and take advantage of others.
那么当然在圣经里面, 我们更看到有一种人叫为税吏。
And we also see the tax collectors in the New Testament.
啊, 这些税吏呢, 都是财主耶。
These tax collectors were wealthy men.
啊, 耶稣的门徒马太, 啊, 他信了耶稣之后, 可以在他家呢, 大摆筵席的。
Matthew was able to hold a banquet after he had decided to follow Christ.
那个税吏撒该信主的时候呢, 他自己说呢, 假如我多拿人家的钱呢, 我现在呢, 要四倍还他。
Zacchaeus was able to return four times to the people who he had taken money from.
啊, 这样一句话里面, 第一表示呢, 他做税吏的时候, 就是贪污。
This showed that he was indeed very corrupt.
第二表示呢, 他贪污的还蛮有钱的。
And furthermore, that he had gained much wealth through corruption.
所以贪污的问题、欺压的问题是很普遍的。
So the problem of corruption and injustice was great.
那在这样的一个情形里面, 一般的大众贫穷的问题呢, 也是很普遍的。
And under such circumstances, poverty was also a great problem.
圣经里面起码就有两次的故事, 告诉我们说耶稣基督在当时要变饼给当时的会众吃。
There were at least two times recorded in scripture that tells us that Jesus Christ had to change, to feed the crowd with a limited bread.
有一次他圣经说他让5000人吃。
One time scripture recorded he fed 5,000.
其实那5000人呢, 圣经明讲的是5000个男人。
Actually, those were 5,000 men.
女孩子跟小孩子不算。
The women and the children were not counted.
另外有一次, 圣经说, 耶稣基督喂饱4,000人。
On another occasion, he fed 4,000.
圣经里面我们看到有那种穷寡妇。
We also see the poor widow.
她所有的只是两个小钱。
She only had two mites.
贫穷是一个很现实的问题。
Poverty is a very realistic problem.
特别历史家告诉我们说，在耶稣基督活动的那个中心加利利是一个很贫穷的地方。
In particular, historians tell us that Galilee, where Christ did most of his ministry, was an extremely poor area.
那么在这样的一个情形的里面呢，跟住呢，我们就发现了耶稣基督的时代呢，是处在一个革命的风潮的时代的里面。
Furthermore, under such circumstances, we see that Christ existed in a time of much rebellion.
在主前166年的时候。
In 166 BC,
我们就开始呢，发现当时犹太人有一个革命，叫做马可比革命。
We hear about the Maccabees Revolution.
啊，假如大家喜欢音乐的话呢，大家大概很会记得有一首那个 oratorio 叫做 Judas Maccabees.
If you like music, you may be familiar with the oratorio Judas Maccabees.
所讲的就是这个马可比时代那个。
It describes the Maccabean revolt.
那么这一个革命呢，在某一个程度来讲呢，他们是成功了。
In a certain degree, this revolt was successful.
假如大家有机会去念一本书叫做《赤经》的话呢，你会发现呢，在那个《赤经》的里面呢，这些马可比兄弟呢，是给当时的人当作是民族英雄去看待。
If you are able to study the times then, in particular, the Apocrypha,、
yeah.
the Apocrypha, you will find that the Maccabeans were considered as heroes among the Jews.
可惜这一个到六十年的时主前六十年的时候呢，就给罗马人征服了，所以整个王朝呢可以说又灭亡了。
But they were overcome by the Romans and the whole reign ended.
那在耶稣基督出生的前前后后呢，我们也看到很多次的叛变。
And during Christ's time itself, we can see several rebellions.
当然在使徒行传的里面呢，我们就可以发现呢，在耶稣基督到使徒保罗这一段的时候呢，起码呢有三次的叛变。
In Acts itself, we can see that there were at least three rebellions from the time of Christ to Paul.
第一次是跟第二次呢是记载在《使徒行传》第五章。
The first two incidents were recorded in Acts 5.
在五章三十六节那里呢，提到一个人叫丢大。
In Acts 5:36, it mentions a man called Theudas.
这个呢是一个革命分子。
He was a leader of a rebellion.
第二个人呢叫加利利人犹大，他又是一个革命分子。
And then there was a second man called Judas the Galilean, also a revolutionary.
当保罗给罗马兵抓去的时候呢，那个罗马百夫长呢又把保罗当成一个埃及人，说他那个埃及人呢也是一个革命分子。
When Paul was taken captive by the Roman centurion, he too thought that Paul was yet another revolutionist from Egypt.
耶稣基督的学生有一个叫西门，说是愤怒党的西门。
One of Christ's disciples, Simon, was also a zealot.
什么叫愤怒党的西门？
What is a zealot?
用今天的话来讲呢，就是呢，巴勒斯坦解放组织。
It is equivalent to the PLO of today.
耶稣基督所活的时代是在这样的一个革命的风潮里面。
Christ lived under such times.
耶稣基督死了之后，到主后六十六年到七十年的中间，犹太人又有一次很大的革命。
After Christ's death, in about 60 to 70 AD, there was yet another great rebellion.
最近有一个重翻的那个电影呢，叫做《马萨达》呢，就是在做这个66年到70年之间这个犹大革命的里面的一个惨局。
The TV movie shown lately, The Masada, actually narrates the tragedy of that rebellion.
跟着到第二世纪初132到135年的里面呢，犹太人又有另外一次的叛变。
Then in AD 132 to 135, there was yet another rebellion.
许许多多的人，他们 都要寻找政治的解决。
Many sought a political solution.
这是耶稣基督所处的那么样的一个时代。
These were the situation in which Christ lived.
而在这样的一个政治的解决的里面，从犹太人的角度来讲呢，对他们来讲，这一些问题呢，其实呢，他们可以说是宗教问题。
Although these appeared to be a political problems, yet to the Jews they were more religious problems.
为什么他们要革命呢？因为呢，他们要恢复到上帝给他们的那个应许的地方。
Why did they want to have these rebellions? Because they wanted to return to the kingdom which God had promised them.
他们要恢复到上帝给他们原来的那一个制度。
They wanted to revive the tradition that Christ, that God had given them.
另外一些人，他们不走革命的路线。
There were some others who did not take the political route.
他们走宗教的路线。
They went the religious route.
在这个宗教的路线的里面呢，我们就看到圣经里面所讲的那些法利赛人、撒都该人。
And of these, we see most obviously the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
特别是法利赛人，很明显的是走宗教路线的人。
In particular, the Pharisees.
这一些人，他们的口号我们大家都知道，是讲律法。
They used the law as the slogan.
假如你去念旧约的话
，If you study the Old Testament.
你会发现呢，好像法利赛人是讲对的。
And you will find that the Pharisees seem to be right.
因为旧约里面呢，实实在在的许许多多地方谈到律法。
Because the Old Testament indeed does mention the law many, many times.
我不知道你们怎么念圣经。
I do not know how you study the Bible.
但是呢，假如你真正去念圣经的话呢，你念到诗篇139篇的时候呢，你会觉得呢好奇怪。
But if you really study the Bible, you'll find it rather strange as you read Psalm 139.
对不起，是诗篇119篇。
Excuse me, it's Psalm 119.
诗篇119篇呢，我们通常熟悉的经文呢，是你的话是我脚前的灯，路上的光。
The most familiar verses that we know from Psalm 119 is Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
可是整个诗篇119篇呢，是讲什么呢？是我何等喜爱你的律法。
But the whole of Psalm 19 talks about how I love your law.
上帝的话就在诗篇119篇的里面呢，就跟律法呢是连在一起的。
God's words is joined and the same as the law in Psalm 119.
当法利赛人他们去念诗篇119篇的时候呢，他们就可以跟上帝说：“上帝啊，我何等喜爱你的律法。”
When the Pharisees read Psalm 119, they could indeed say to God, "God, how I delight in your law."
我怎么样喜欢了你的律法呢？我要完全照着你所讲的话去做。
How do I like your law? I will observe completely your law.
所以上帝的话说，在安息日的时候，你们什么工都不能做。
So when God said, you may not work on the Sabbath day,
他们就觉得呢，连在安息日能够走多远呢，都要稍微研究一下。
So they felt that how far a distance you can walk on the Sabbath should be considered.
为什么他们怕在安息日走太远呢？
Why are they worried that they would walk too much on the Sabbath day?
因为他们怕违反了上帝那个安息日。他们就觉得呢，连在安息日能够走多远呢，都要稍微研究一下。
So they felt that how far a distance you can walk on the Sabbath should be considered.
为什么他们怕在安息日走太远呢？
Why are they worried that they would walk too much on the Sabbath day?
因为他们怕违反了上帝那个安息日不能做工的那么样的一个律法。
Because they were afraid that they will violate the law that says that thou should not work on Sabbath.
所以他们就规定了一个路程，成为圣经里面所讲的安息日可行的路程。
So they determined a particular distance in which it was allowable to walk on the Sabbath.
假如你们不知道安息日的路程是多远的话呢，有人帮我们算出来呢，是960亚。
Somebody has done a calculation and found that particular distance to be 960 yards.
超过了那个就是违反上帝的律法。
If you go beyond that, you would have violated God's laws.
可是在真正的当时的犹太人的里面呢，我们竟然发现呢，法利赛人不是最极端的人。
But we find that among the Jews, the Pharisees were not the extremists.
在1940年代呢，有人在死海那边呢，发现了一些死海古卷。
In the 1940s, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered around the Dead Sea area.
那么在那些古卷的里面呢，就有人呢发现了，原来犹太人里面呢，还有一种更极端的人。
And then we find that there used to be another group that was more extreme.
这一批人呢，认为呢，他们正面临在一个末世的时代的里面。
That group of people felt that they were in an eschatological age.
他们有一天呢，要为上帝打一个最后的大战。
They had to fight this last battle for God.
这个最后的大战呢，是光明与黑暗之战。
This was the battle between the light and the darkness.
所以他们把所有的战略什么样呢，都写出来了。
So they wrote out all the strategies.
而这些人他们的规矩呢是很严谨的。
They had very strict regulations.
其中有一个规矩呢，我想应用在今天呢，你们一定吓死。
One of them, if it were applied today, would make you, would scare you.
假如在聚会的时候打盹。
If you were to fall asleep during meeting times.
第一次就罚打。
The first time you'll be flogged.
多几次呢就赶出去。
After several times, you'll be excommunicated.
所以不能钓鱼啊。
So please do not fish.
法利赛人认为安息日的路程是960 yards.
The Pharisees considered the Sabbath safe distance to be 960 yards.
他们说一半。
These people said half.
480。
480 yards only.
法利赛人在安息日的时候，假如看到畜生掉到水里面去
，If the Pharisees saw an animal fall into water during the Sabbath，
耶稣基督说：“你们法利赛人也会把它拉起来的。”
Christ said, "You Pharisees will pull it out."
可是，在死海古卷的里面呢，我们发现了这些人呢，畜生掉下水呢，他们也不救。
But we see through the dead scrolls that this particular cult would not move a hand to save this animal.
因为呢，他们不要犯上帝的规律。
Because they did not want to violate God's laws.
在这一种精神的里面呢，却变成了一种害死人的规条。
Yet in such a spirit, the God's laws become one that kills.
出于宗教的热忱所发明的一些制度，成为害人的东西。
Traditions that have their birth in religious zeal are often much harm, bring much harm.
而当时的一般的法利赛人是看不起一般的老百姓的。
The Pharisees at that time looked down on most of the commoners.
在约翰福音第七章的里面，就法利赛人讲过一句话。
In John 7, the Pharisee, it's recorded the Pharisee said,
但是这一些百姓不懂律法，该受咒诅。
These people do not know the law and ought to be cursed.
有人说在当时假如用犹太人的话的话呢，所谓这些百姓呢，用当时的亚兰文呢，是 Amharet.
In those days, if you used the word for the peasant in Aramaic,
People in the street.
People in the street.
该死，没有用。
They were useless people.
而那些所谓高层人士又怎么样呢？
But what about those in the upper echelons of society?
耶稣基督骂他们是说，你们呢，假冒为善。
Christ said that you are hypocrites.
什么叫假冒为善呢？
What are hypocrites?
用我们中国话来讲呢，假君子也。
In the Chinese, it would be saying that you are a false gentleman.
挂羊头卖狗肉。
You do not do what you say.
这是当时耶稣基督所处的那个时代。
This was the time in which Christ lived.
有一些人他们认为要维护他 他们的传统。
Some people wanted to defend their tradition.
但是这一些维护传统的人本身没有真正活上他们传统的那个标准。
Yet these defenders of the tradition were not able to live the tradition fully themselves.
而在这样的里面，就造成了一个上层的所谓高级分子跟下边的一些劳苦大众的那个分别。
As a result, there was a separate religious group as compared to the commoners.
剩下几分钟，我们来想一想我们刚刚所看的那些问题。
In the minutes that remain, let us think about what we have, the problems we just talked about.
很可惜的是我们中国教会的基督徒许许多多人不关心世俗。
Many Chinese Christians of today are not concerned with reality.
许多的基督徒不关心国事。
It is a pity that many Chinese Christians have no concern for their own country.
许多的基督徒不关心民族的前途。
Many Christians have nothing to do with the future of the nation.
假如你稍微想一想，你在中学的时候所练的中国历史。
If you were to stop and reflect the history studied in high school.
假如你稍微回家去问问你的爸爸妈妈，看他们在过去的几十年里面，他们所过的那个生活。
If you were to go home and ask your parents concerning the last decade and how they lived,
你就会发现呢，我们刚刚所讲的耶稣基督所讲的那一幅图画呢，是跟我们过去中国一百多年的图画呢，是很相像的地方。
You will find that the picture we described of Christ's time is very much like the picture of China in the last few hundred years.
在鸦片战争以前，我们中国是中原大国。
Before the Opium War, we were the great central kingdom.
我们的周围都是蛮夷。
All around us were barbarians.
都是没有文化的。
Uncivilized people.
鸦片战争之后。
After the Opium War.
给人家当头棒一打。
We were hit right on in the face by others.
打了几次之后呢，发现了哦，原来人家也有文化的。
After several times, we find that oh, others also have the culture.
而且呢，就逼作了我们整个中国人一直在改。
And it forced us, the whole of China, to change.
改到今天，我们在座的没有一个人穿中国衣服。
So that today among us, none of us are wearing the traditional Chinese clothing.
我们这些人在美国
We were in America.
恐怕很多人包括我自己在里面我们那些古书看不懂
Including myself, many of us do not understand the literature of China.
对很多人来讲恐怕我们讲英文舒服一点
To many of us, English is easier.
我们中国的整个文化是在那里变
A whole culture has changed. It's in the process of changing.
在我们过去的这个变迁的里面，我们发生很严重的政治经济的问题。
And in the change, we find serious political and economic problems.
在这个问题的里面，有人赞成保守传统。
And in such circumstances, some have said defend the tradition.
有人赞成全盘西化。
Others have said, become westernized completely.
起码我们也割了两次命。
We have at least two revolutions.
照理来讲呢，是三次以上。假如我们把太平天国也包括在里面。
And if we include the Taiping Rebellion, then that we should say that there were three rebellions and revolutions in all.
但是事实上呢，是在过去的一百多年的里面呢，我们中国一直在打仗。
But in the last 100 years or so, China has constantly been at war.
在寻求一个政治的解决。
And looking for a political solution.
而在下去的话，我们发现我们中国人 实在是一个非常贫穷的国家。
And we find that we Chinese, we are indeed in a very poor country.
现在假如你有机会到中国大陆去, 你会发现中国大陆穷得很。
And if you have the chance to go back to mainland China, you will find that it is very poor.
但是说句公道话, 共产党所讲的也是对的。
But to be very fair, what the communists have said is right.
在他们之前, 我们中国更穷。
Before their times, China was even poorer.
贫穷是我们一个很严重的问题。
Poverty is an extremely serious problem for us.
整个道德的崩溃更是一个很严重的问题。
The whole corruption or bankruptcy of our morality is another serious problem.
不要讲清朝的时候，不要讲1950年代之前的问题，就讲今天的。 中国大陆他们自己也承认是一个很严重的问题。
Let us not consider the history before the Qing Dynasty or before the 1500, but rather let's consider today. Even today in China, they say that we are facing a great problem.
类似的问题呢，其实呢，就是耶稣基督出现的时候，他所要面临的问题。
These problems were the very same ones that Christ wanted to face when he came to this earth.
下一堂我们就会看一看耶稣基督怎么样针对这个问题去讲话。
In the next session, we will look at how Christ spoke to these problems.
但是在这里呢, 我想特别强调的就是,
But I would like to emphasize
我们去念新约,
that as we study the New Testament,
假如你对当时的背景有一些认识的话, 你会发现呢, 我们好像是回到一个我们很熟悉的世代的里面去。
You will find that if you know anything about the cultural background at that time, that you would be in a very familiar surrounding.
耶稣基督的信息不是一堆空理论。
Jesus Christ's message was not abstract theories.
他是对一个很现实的时代
But he spoke to the reality of the times
讲话
He spoke to the times then
同样呢, 假如我们好好的去了解耶稣基督的话 我们也会发现呢, 原来他的话呢, 可以跟我们中国人有很深远的含义在里面
And by the same token, if we were to study Christ and his message carefully, we'd find that his message has great relevance for us Chinese today.
我们好像都很熟悉耶稣基督的教训。
We seem to be very familiar with the teachings of Christ.
但是呢, 很多时候呢, 我们没有把耶稣基督的教训呢, 对当时代的那个含义呢看清楚。
But often we fail to see the relevance of what Christ said to his times.
也因为这样呢, 我们很遗憾地说呢, 我们中国教会呢, 没有把耶稣基督的教训对我们中国的处境的信息呢看清楚。
By the same token, and it is a great pity that we Chinese have failed to see the implications of Christ's teachings to the Chinese today.
文化, 政治, 经济, 宗教, 一切都在改变, 都面临威胁, 然后耶稣基督出现。
When Christ came, the culture, the political situation, the economic situation, and the religious situation were being threatened and were in a process of great flux.
那么希望呢, 我们也可以从耶稣基督的教训里面 去学一学我们这一些也在一个很激烈转变的过程里面的中国基督徒，我们该学些什么样的事情？
And hopefully, as Chinese in a times of crisis ourselves, we can learn what we ought to do.
好，还有5分钟，有没有什么问题？
In the last 5 minutes, are there any questions?
不客气啊。
Please do not hold back.
这个问题是针对所有的中国人，在不论在海外、台湾、香港、大陆，是不是这种一样的情形？有没有分别？
哦， 特别在这几十年的里面，我个人很强的一个感觉，而且呢，就是越来啊越练耶稣基督的四福音的时候，我的一个感觉呢，就是我们跟耶稣基督所处的时代呢，是非常的像。
The question was, do these problems apply equally to the Chinese all over the world, no matter if they're in Hong Kong, Taiwan, or China, or in the States? And I feel personally very strongly as I study the New Testament that the times in which Christ existed are very similar to the times in which we exist.
因为香港很明显的一个问题呢，是还有15年你要怎么活？
In Hong Kong, very realistically, how would you live in the last 15 years?
整个东南亚的那个问题呢，是一个完全道德、政治、宗教都在崩溃的社会，你要怎么样去救？
In the whole of Southeast Asia, the problem is that the whole of religion, politics and religion is being bankrupted. How are you going to save it?
整个上层是贪污的。
The upper society is corrupt.
生意人不回路的，你没有办法做生意的。
If you are a merchant and businessman and you are not corrupt, you can make no profit.
贫穷的人呢，是越来越穷的。
The poor are getting poorer.
答案在什么地方？
Where is the answer?
那么过去很显然的，这几十年的所有的解决都是政治的解决。
Previously, the answer has always been a political one.
台湾好像稍微稳定一下。
Taiwan seems to be more stable.
可是从台湾的人来的人呢，我想他们绝对不同意我这句话。
But those of you from Taiwan will, I think, disagree with what I said.
因为在台湾来讲呢，我想没有一个人敢讲，自从Nixon 去了大陆之后，没有一个人敢讲了台湾还有多少年。
But ever since Nixon visited mainland China, none of the people from Taiwan will dare say how many years Taiwan will still have.
反而呢，香港呢比较清楚一点，15年。
Rather, the people in Hong Kong seem to clear on the same problem. They only have 15 years.
台湾呢说不出来。
The people in Taiwan do not know how many years.
不知道。
They don't know.
我们是在处在一个很大的变动，面临一个很大的变动的那个环境的里面。
We are also in a times when the many great changes are going on.
还有没有什么问题？
Are there any more questions?
好，没有的话呢，我们这一堂呢就到这里。那么我们休息一下，11点再回来。
If not, we'll end the session now and we'll return here at 11.